Hi, and welcome to the first episode of It's Not All In Your Head. I'm Scott, and today I want to talk openly and honestly about something that affects more people than we often realize, and that is food addiction. So this isn't something that's about indulgence or lack of willpower. Food addiction in itself is a real complex condition where the person develops a compulsive relationship with certain types of food. And these are usually high processed ones, which are loaded with sugars, they're loaded with fats, and they're loaded with salts. Food addiction can feel a lot like substance addiction, with cravings, withdrawal symptoms, and a loss of control. For many of us, food becomes more than fuel. It becomes comfort, it becomes a distraction, and even a form of escape. And over time, that relationship can spiral into something harmful. According to research in the UK itself, around 1 in 5 people show signs of food addiction. And that number is even higher, nearly 1 in 3 among those living with obesity. This isn't just about overeating, it's about the emotional and neurological grip that food can have on us. In the short term, food addiction can lead to weight gain, digestive issues, fatigue, and blood sugar fluctuations. But mentally, it can cause intense guilt, anxiety, and a deep sense of shame. You're stuck in a cycle of craving, binging, and regret. Long term, the consequences can be even more serious. You know, we are talking about the increased risks of type 2 diabetes, the increased risks of heart disease, depression, and eating disorders. And beyond the physical and mental toll, food addiction can also isolate you. It affects your relationships, it affects your self-esteem, your social life. You know, you might avoid events, hide your eating from others, or feel like no one understands what you're going through. But here's the truth, you're not alone, and you're not beyond help. When we talk about food addiction, most people immediately think about physical health, weight gain, blood sugar, and cholesterol. But what doesn't get talked about enough is the mental health impact. And honestly, it's one of the hardest parts to live with. It can mess with your head in ways that are deeply exhausting. You're constantly thinking about food, when you'll eat, what you'll eat, how to hide it from others, and how to make up for it. It becomes this mental noise that never really ever shuts off. And then there's the guilt that follows, the shame, the cycle of, I can't believe I did that again, followed by, I'm never going to get this under control. That internal self-talk becomes brutal. It chips away at your self-esteem until you're not just struggling with food, you're struggling with who you are. Over time, that constant mental battle can lead to anxiety, depression, disordered eating patterns like binge eating disorder, and because food is so tied to our emotions, every time you try to control it, it can actually increase your emotional distress. For me, for example, I started to avoid social situations. I avoided birthday parties and dinners out because I was afraid of being judged or afraid of losing control. That isolation alone turns into depression, and the loneliness just makes you want to cope with food even more, and it's a vicious loop. And what makes it worse is how invisible it all is. You might look fine on the outside, you might even be high functioning, you're holding down a job, you're raising your children, you're checking all the boxes, but inside you are drowning in self-blame. You know, when I talk about food addiction, it's not just from a distance. This is something that I've lived through for the last 10 years. And I want to be honest about a chapter of my life that for a long time I didn't fully understand myself. For a very long time, I was training for strongman competitions. I was lifting heavy, pushing my body, chasing that next personal best. And with that came a certain mindset around food. I ate a lot. Because in my mind, the size was the strength. More weight on my body meant more weight I could move. And that was the formula I believed in. And the people around me, they celebrated that. They looked at the numbers I was hitting in the gym, whether that was physically in the gym or on social media, and they were like, wow. They saw the big lifts, the power, and they were impressed. And I'll be real with you as well. So was I. That external validation, it reinforced the idea that I was doing what I was doing was working. That the way I was eating was okay, and it was encouraged even. But looking back at it, it wasn't okay. I wasn't just eating to fuel performance, I was crossing a line and using food as a crutch, justifying overeating because it served the narrative that I had built for myself. And that narrative was, I'm strong, so this must be fine. No one really stepped in to say, hey, are you all right? Is this actually healthy? It was all centered on the strength, on how impressive the lifts were, and that silence, that lack of deeper questioning, made it even easier to keep going. It was like the food addiction hid behind the applause. But the truth is, my relationship with food was not healthy. I wasn't just feeding strength, I was feeding something emotional, something deeper, and I didn't want to admit that at the time. Now, as I reflect on that part of my journey, I see how it is for food addiction to masquerade as dedication, especially in strength sports. And I want to shine a light on that, not to shame myself or anybody else, but to say it's okay to question it, and it's okay to pause and ask, is this actually serving me, or is it slowly hurting me under the surface? This was one day that really shook me, like something snapped into place and I couldn't unsee it anymore. And that day was when I took my daughter, she was 6 at the time, to a theme park. You know, she was so excited, and you know that kind of excitement that only kids have, just pure joy. She's bouncing on her feet, she's pulling my hand, she's pointing at everything, and for her, this was a magical day, because she had no idea what was coming, and honestly, neither did I. But once we got inside, the reality of where I was physically hit me hard. I could barely walk around, my joints hurt, I was sweating, short of breath, and constantly looking for places to sit down. And I could see it on her face. She didn't understand why I was slowing things down, why I wasn't fully in it with her. And then came the rides, and that's when it really broke me. I couldn't fit in them properly. I had to try and squeeze in, and the ride operators had to try different ways to get the safety bars to lock. People were looking, staff were whispering. I could feel all the attention, the awkwardness, the discomfort, not just mine, but everyone else's too. And worst of all, my daughter was right there watching it all happen. She didn't say anything. You know, the kids are, you know, they're really resistant, resilient like that. But I could see this shift. That moment when I was supposed to be a hero, her adventure buddy, and I felt like I had let her down. Not because I wasn't strong, but because I wasn't well. And that was the moment that cut through all the excuses, all the justifications, the strongman ego, the I've got this attitude. It all fell away. Because here was my daughter, full of joy, just wanting to spend the day with her dad, and I couldn't even fully show up for her. That's when I knew something had to change. Not for competitions, not for appearances, but for her and for me. For the dad I wanted to be. For the human I was slowly losing in the pursuit of something that honestly wasn't serving me anymore. Food addiction just doesn't affect what you eat. It affects how you see yourself, how you engage with the world, and how safe you feel in your own mind. And that's why it's so important to approach this with compassion, not just from others, but from ourselves. This isn't about being weak. This isn't about lacking control. This is about emotional pain, unmet needs, and survival strategies that once helped, but they're now hurting. Healing from food addiction means not just changing our relationship with food, but also addressing the emotional wounds underneath it. Therapy, peer support, self-compassion, all of these can help rebuild the trust we've lost in ourselves, because the goal isn't perfection, it's peace. One of the hardest parts of living with this isn't just the battle going inside your own head, it's also how misunderstood it is by the people around you. I think most of us have heard things like, just have some discipline. Why don't you just eat less? Everyone overeats sometimes. It's not that serious. Oh, just having one's not going to do any harm. And here's the thing. I get it. You know, from the outside, food addiction doesn't always look like addiction. There's no empty bottle or obvious high. You know, food is everywhere and it's legal. It's celebrated, and it's deeply tied into our culture and our emotions. So when someone is struggling with it, it's easy for others to downplay it. But the reality is, food addiction works on the same reward system in the brain as drugs or alcohol. That cycle of craving, binging, and guilt. It's not a lack of willpower. It's a neurological and emotional loop that's extremely difficult to break. And another big misconception in that it's just about weight. People assume that if you're thin, you can't possibly have a problem, or that if you're overweight, you must just be lazy, and neither of those things are true. It can affect people of any body size. It's about your relationship with food, not just the number on the scale. Some well-meaning friends or family members might try to help by commenting on your food choices, suggesting diets, or praising weight loss without realizing they're enforcing the shame spiral. And what we really need in those moments is empathy. Space to be honest. Space for someone to say, I'm here for you. No judgment. Because behind the addiction, there's a deeper story, whether that is stress, trauma, loneliness, or emotional pain, and food just becomes the way that we cope. So if you're listening to this as someone who loves a person struggling with food addiction, and this, your support matters, okay? More than you think. And sometimes the best thing you can say isn't advice, it's just, how can I support you today? That question alone can be a turning point. And one of the hardest things about battling food addiction is how deceptive progress can feel. You know, you can go days, weeks, sometimes months thinking, I've actually got this under control. You know, you're eating better, you're not binging, the craving's quieter, you feel stable. Maybe even proud. Maybe you start to believe the worst is behind you. And then out of nowhere, it hits. One trigger, one stressful day, one lonely night, or nothing at all. Just a sudden, overwhelming urge to eat everything you said you wouldn't. And it's like something takes over. Logic goes out the window. That sense of control you worked so hard for just slips. And after it happens, you're left with that familiar shame. I thought I was past this. Why can't I just stop? And I was doing so well. And that's the thing about battling food addiction, is that it doesn't follow a straight line. It's not just about self-control. It's not a diet plan. It's not a checklist you tick off and suddenly you're cured. It's more like grief or trauma or any chronic struggle that ebbs and flows. The truth is, you can be healing and still relapse. You can be self-aware and still fall into old patterns. You can want recovery more than anything and still feel like you're losing. But that doesn't mean you've failed. It means you're human. Every time you come back from a slip, that's strength. Every time you pause and notice a craving instead of numbing it, that's progress. And every time you get up the next day and keep trying, that's resilience. And the truth is, the fact that you're even noticing the pattern, the fact that you're even reflecting on it, is recovery. So if you're in that place right now, if you feel like you've slipped after a good stretch, breathe. It doesn't erase your progress. It means that the work continues and you're not alone in it. I know these conversations can be heavy, and food addiction isn't something that just gets fixed overnight. It's layered, it's emotional, and it's personal. But here's the most important thing I want to leave you with. Recovery is possible. Not perfect eating, not a flawless relationship with food, but recovery that looks like fewer binges, less shame, more understanding. Recovery that feels like learning to listen to your body instead of punishing it. For some, support looks like working with a therapist, ideally one trained in food addiction, binge eating, or trauma-informed care. For others, it's joining a peer support group, either in person or online, places where you're not judged, where people actually get it. In the UK, you've got services like Beat and Overeaters Anonymous. They do offer support groups and helplines. Some people also find help through CBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy, or DBT, dialectical behavioral therapy. And both of these can help untangle the thoughts, the emotions, and behaviors tied up in food addiction. For others, recovery might involve working with a non-diet, weight-inclusive nutritionist who understands that food is more than calories. It's history, it's comfort, and it's identity. And sometimes recovery starts by telling someone the truth. I'm struggling, I need help. And that's more than enough to begin. If you've been stuck in this cycle for a long time, if you've felt ashamed or broken or beyond fixing, please hear me when I say this. You are not broken. You are not weak. You've just been carrying something heavy alone for far too long. And healing doesn't start with punishment. It starts with kindness to yourself, to your body, and to the parts of you that were just trying to cope. So take a breath. You're not starting from scratch. You're starting from experience. And no matter where you are in the process, day one, year 10, You are worthy of support. You are worthy of peace. And you are worthy of a life where food isn't the enemy. And I'm proud at you for showing up. So until next time, be gentle with yourself. You're doing better than you think.